Coming up, but Rhino and I went to Universal Mardi Gras, and we let... Did I say Mardi Gras, or did I say Mardi Gras?
They'll just have to tune in to find out.
I guess we'll have to say. Yeah. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll on this episode of the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 116 of The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Please visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
So I figured I always say Mardi Gras, because, oh my God, it's Mardi Gras.
Is that why I said that?
I'm embarrassed for myself. It's cool.
It's okay. That's okay. So, yes, today we are going to be talking about Universal Mardi Gras, the annual event that both you and I love near and dear to our hearts and everything so much more. We actually went and we did it opening weekend. I believe we were even there opening night from what I can remember.
We sure were.
Yeah, we were. It has been quite a while since we actually were able to do that, because first you went on a short getaway. I won't call it a vacation because you didn't do much vacationing, but you did get away.
I did.
Yes. And then I went on vacation the week after that. So, it's taken us a little bit of time to catch up with everything we've been doing. So I apologize that Mardi Gras has already been around for a couple weeks now. It's not as relevant. But let's also look at it this way. I don't know which way to look at it.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of some way to say, like, through binoculars. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Here's a good way to look at it. Actual Mardi Gras is this coming Tuesday.
It is.
Yeah. So in that sense, well, we are hitting perfect timing. We are getting people jazzed up right before Fat Tuesday starts. So before we jump into everything, though, just going to mention a couple things. And I'm going to start off for this part of it before we talk about actual Universal stuff. I don't know how much of our audience actually tunes into both the Disney World Edition show as well as this show, and you know, I just don't know about the audience. So you might notice that Rhino and myself are both sitting in the back together.
Yes.
And that is because as we mentioned on the Disney World show earlier this week, Oliver Green is no longer with us. He did unfortunately have to resign his position from the Diz, and he left us with a statement that I don't have in front of me for this show to read, but I did in the Disney World Edition show. So for more information on all of that, please head over there to get that full one. I'm just not prepared to have it with me right now, but you know, we will miss Oliver dearly on this show. He was, besides him being extremely hardworking with everything he did, you know, he was a good addition to talking about Universal. Really loved
it. He loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not dead either. So yeah. It's like a weird, like, he loved it. He really did. Like I'll miss him, obviously working with him, but you know, we're lucky because he still lives here. So
exactly.
Or so at least at the moment, I hope, you know, not, I hope, I know. Message me later. I'll give you his address.
Well,
I won't. I swear, Oliver, if you're watching this.
And please don't do that because we live way too close together. I don't want people finding my car. but yeah, so we will miss him. And, you know, that's all I have to say about that.
That's right all now. I have to say about that.
That's yes.
That was a terrible Forrest Gump.
Too bad we're not doing Bubba Gumps again. That would have worked out perfectly for this episode. I do want to go over a couple things that we did miss in the past couple weeks while we've been gone, in terms of highlights, stuff that we didn't really get to talk about because we weren't around. And the first thing I wanted to mention that came out since we left is that we finally have a little bit more information on the Tapu Tapu wearable.
Yeah. I forgot that we because we were talking about this between ourselves. Sometimes I get confused.
Exactly.
It's like, was it a dream or was it real?
No, I'm in the same exact boat. So I completely forgot that we didn't until about 2 minutes before we started, and then I decided to pull up the webpage with information on it. So that's going to be why I don't actually have pictures and stuff ready to go for you on that. But the information that we now do have about it is that the Tapu Tapu wearable, as they told us before, it will be a free device that you get when you enter into Volcano Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You will get it.
Multicolors.
Multiple different colors. Four different colors, I believe, they announced. And you will essentially, you get it when you walk into the park, and it's yours for the day. And then it will have to be turned in at the end of the day. It is not something, as of now, you are able to keep or have for your own. I'm not sure if any of the details will change like that, but so how you'll use them is you will basically, outside of the attractions, the slides, everything there is to do, you'll find these little totems standing up, and when you find the totem, that means you found a spot where your band can be used, and you enter the virtual line that way. The virtual line experience that we've talked about with Jimmy Fallon and such stuff like that before, and it will essentially give you your time to come back. But then when it is time to come back, your band will start vibrating and letting you know it's time to come back. But in the meantime, you're able to use your Tapu Tapu to walk around and hit all the different interactive water experiences and little lighting effects that they're going to have, and it's just going to be your little best friend that you get to carry around.
I think it's cool that you have to go up and tap it to kind of like say, okay, I'm getting in line for this line. I like that better than – I think it's a more fair kind of approach to it as opposed to – I struggle with the My Disney Experience app.
Yeah.
As I do with many things in my life. But I think it's kind of neat that that's a simple way to make this kind of cool wearable technology. I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly, I've been using Universal's app a lot while we've been going to test the virtual line system and seeing all the tweaks and adjustments they've been making with that and the testing that they've done on Despicable and Shrek before it opens up full wide with Volcano Bay, as well as Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon. I always forget the name. It's just too long. Eventually, we'll be able to cut it down to just Fallon. But, I've been playing around with it a lot. And their app is so much cleaner, friendlier, easier to use than anything Disney has done with My Disney Experience. So, I don't know if Tapu Tapu will at any point in time have any integration with the app. If it does, I think it will still be very successful in everything that it does with it. But it makes it easier. And I'm thinking about for the kids. I know you've used this excuse before with, I believe you're like, if your grandma were to come down for some reason.
My grandma, my mom even, the only thing she's figured out how to use on her cell phone, and it amazes me, are yard sale finding apps. Yard sales.
Yeah.
And she can locate where those are, but God forbid you need directions to get back to the house. Yeah. That's not happening. So she just screams at the phone and starts swearing at it. But so this is like the Nintendo Wii of fast passes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Something that was created accessible to all generations and everybody.
Yeah, I cannot wait for it. So that is what we have to say about the Tapu Tapu stuff. You probably already knew, but now you get our 2 cents on it. And you might want to take our 2 cents because you're going to need them because, ticket prices, unfortunately, did go up recently along with everywhere else in the world, like Walt Disney World. So one-day single-park admission ticket now starts at $110, which is up from $105. Park-to-park tickets start at $165, increased from $155. And tickets for children are $5 less than that. And so that would be starting. So as like Disney, they do the tiered system of how busy it is, which season it's in. Mm-hmm. So the adult peak season tickets are priced at $124 for one day and $179. As well for the I believe the 2-park ticket, if I have that information correct in front of me. Annual pass prices still begin at $260 with that, and you can save money by purchasing your tickets online in advance, I believe, as Disney does the same thing now too. And you know, all these prices did adjust a little bit in terms of with Volcano Bay, but we do not know yet if Volcano Bay will have a different single day admission price.
Yeah,
my guess is it won't. It will be the same admission, one day admission prices as the rest of them, because they are touting it as a third theme park, as we've talked about many times before. Yeah. But I guess that at the end of the day, if you can't warrant an entire full long day of fun and excitement at Volcano Bay, then it should be at more of a discounted price. But
no, I agree. It's going to be weird, because I don't think it's going to be a water park that's $110 a day to go to, you know? Do you think so?
I don't know. I think they might get away with trying.
I think everything looks very exciting either way. Like, it is a very it was very smart of them to build right out in the open. I mean, it wasn't really an option, but I drove by again the other day because I live right near there. And if you go up the Sand Lake ramp, yeah, like if you're going down I-4 West and you take the Sand Lake exit, you can actually see that there's the really great amount of detail going into the volcano, and then there's now these buildings that are being built into the side of the volcano. See, I thought the volcano was going to go straight down in the water, but there's these cool temple looking things, and it's all really coming together right now.
Yeah,
very exciting.
No, it is very, very exciting. So I cannot wait to get out there and have fun at Volcano Bay when it opens on May 25th or whatever. I can't remember
the 20th. I think you're right. I think 25th. It's the 25th, yeah.
Grand opening's on May 25th.
It's like a Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a weird... They're like, get the water park started Thursday.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good, like, it's your pre-weekend weekend.
Yeah. You know? And I know I sound like I'm not, like, super excited about it, but... I don't. It's so far away. It's still hard to get like
we can
fully
get
jazzed
shirts
up in there. Yeah.
Is that what you're worried about? Oh, sorry. That's what I just went to.
The swim shirts? No. But I did just get a nice swimming suit. So I feel like
I'm gonna have to.
I am ready.
Looking. Yeah.
But hopefully it fits me now. Hopefully it doesn't fit me for good reason.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I do not want to gain more weight, but I also cannot promise that as well. And so that, I believe, is all I really wanted to say about things that we missed. I mean, there's been other little stuff happening here and there. Nothing of too significance. Like, worth mentioning, of course, too, Jimmy Fallon, Racer New York, starring Jimmy Fallon. They just put out their height stick and warning information just recently in the past couple days to the past couple week. And we now know that the height requirement for that's going to be 40 inches.
Yes, that is 3 feet 4 inches.
Doing the math.
Yes, I was very slowly.
Doing the math very slowly.
They also took down the I saw, and it's somebody in chat posted this photo, and you might have seen it as well. I'm sure you have. You're the expert here. Hurricane Hector, he posted a photo on his Twitter or something like that of the stairwell inside of the gift shop. Like, everything was down in there. So it's like open, but it was still like had the red the rope.
Yes,
yes. Was still up. So I think I've heard we'll be there soon enough.
Yes,
I'll stop what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know soft openings will begin way sooner than we think. Of course, the grand opening's right around the corner with April 6th. April 6th, I believe.
For Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the soft open is going to happen way before that.
Yeah, but the grand opening is during the April 4th to April 6th period, where Jimmy Fallon will be in Orlando shooting the show. But
are we going to go stalk him? Should we try and get on the show?
Oh, shoot. I think tickets for that were coming out. I think they might have already came out on last Friday to get them. Or it's this Friday. Or I don't know.
Those are the three options.
Look that up right now. But in terms of the excitement for the attraction itself, my hopes are dwindling down faster and faster and faster, and that's all I can really say about that. I can't give away too much more information, but Yeah. It'll definitely be an attraction. I can say that for sure. So yeah, that is all the news that I would like to catch up on before we start our discussion on Universal Mardi Gras. Let's just jump ahead and get right in our discussion on Universal Mardi Gras, the annual event that happens at Universal Studios Florida that runs this year from February 4th through March 25th. So as of recording this and releasing this, you still have a solid month full of getting out there and enjoying your Mardi Gras celebration. That includes the parade that is happening nightly, all the food and fun that's happening in the French Quarter area that they set up right in the New York section of the park. And on select nights, they even have the big name acts that are coming on and putting on a show for you.
Putting on a Ritz.
Unfortunately, we had Trace Adkins.
Yeah, bummer.
Definitely.
I think the X Ambassadors. What's today? The 23rd. They were this week. I missed them.
Yeah,
that was for me. That was the big name of this year. The big relevant name. Like, oh, the hits are going on the radio. But I heard the Neo concert was pretty packed too. He just always gets a pretty big crowd when he's there.
Yeah, I need to get to more. I feel like vacation just took up way too many weekends of my life, and I need to start staying more grounded in Orlando. So before we actually jump into what we thought about the event this year and everything that's happening with it, we have a little bit of video put together so that way you can see what the event actually looked like itself. So ready to go. For those of you who are not watching this live right now, currently as we are speaking, it will be available. It is already available. That is my bad. I said that the complete wrong way. It is already available to watch at youtube.com/WDWinfo. For everyone watching it here, it's going to be right there. So without further ado,
Look at our chew.
Okay. Without further ado, I am going to go ahead and play it. So here we go. Okay. So that was your look at Universal Mardi Gras for anyone out there who hasn't been before, never seen it, never have any idea on what it is like. That was your one and only chance to see it because
we've burned it to the ground.
Yes, just that quickly. It was very amazing how we were able to do that. So, the first big difference about the event this year, on top of how it's different from other years, is that instead of happening only on those weekends when there is the actual concert itself, it is now happening every single night for those 50 consecutive nights. We're already 19 nights into it.
Yeah, when's the last official day? Sometime in March, right? Well, it has to be.
Yeah, March 24th.
March 24th. Okay.
Why do I keep forgetting this stuff like 2 minutes after I say it? The last final night of it is March 25th. And since we're already talking about dates and stuff right now, during that video breakaway, we were able to go on Jimmy Fallon. As we've talked about before in the past, the taping is April 3rd through April 6th. That's when it's happening. And the tickets go on sale for that tomorrow. Free tickets, not like on sale for a price, but you are able to reserve your tickets tomorrow starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm. So we'll try.
Yeah, we're going to try to get them. So if you're going to be in town during that time, I highly recommend. And then, maybe we'll bump into each other while we're seeing Jimmy Fallon. I mean, it almost feels like a waste that we are going to try to take tickets, that I'm going to try to take tickets for Jimmy Fallon, considering we all know my thoughts on Mr. Fallon.
Yeah, but I like to think about it more, not about Jimmy Fallon, but what kind of guests are we getting in here in Central Florida? You know, like, when is the show? When did you say? In April? For the week of April?
It is the week of April 3rd through the 6th.
So you got to think about what movies are coming out right around that week. So I'm sure somebody from The Fast and the Furious is going to be there too. And maybe they'll talk about the ride for a second during the show or
could
whatever.
Could be. Yeah.
So I'm just trying, like, I'm more excited for that stuff.
Yep.
So now, I hope, I'm sure we'll reserve tickets though, and it'll be like two people we don't care about.
Yeah, but. Well, now you got me excited for it a little bit more too, at least. So back on to Mardi Gras, February 4th through March 25th. So the first thing that I think that we should talk about that is the parade.
Yes.
Do you disagree with that?
No, I think that's the highlight of the event, so we should definitely talk about the parade.
Yeah, so as we discussed earlier on when we first announced information about Mardi Gras this year, the parade did get to change things up a little bit in that six new floats were being added on to the parade. The whole floats were kind of based around mythical creatures. And if you saw the video, then you got to see what some of those floats looked like. Of course, all the old classics are still there. The riverboat's there, ends with the gator. Yeah. Has to. You still have the, you have all the classic ones that they have, the king and queen float, with the jesters and everything. And, how did you feel about the mythical creatures theme this year with the parade?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. For the first year for me, it felt like it really had kind of a consistency to the parade as a whole, from float to float to float to float. Whereas before, I'm like, oh, it's just, it felt, I mean, I'm sure there was themes and stuff like that, but this one is like a memorable one for me. I thought they had really cool effects on the floats. There were some that like had fire going off on them, some that were really lit up. And we even have a listener who sent us an email, and he went over each of the float. What was it? He was there and he took like notes on the float or something like that, I think. But he told us like what each float was and what it meant.
Yeah, it came from our good friend Patrick. And Patrick was there watching it, I guess, and he said he saw a bunch of little hidden details in the floats, more than he potentially saw in some of the other ones. So on the float that had like a sphinx on it, he said the one interesting part was that it was difficult to see was the tail on the sphinx, and that was that it was a blue star, and he believes that it was kind of a reference to the Leo constellation. With that, in the Asian dragon, the majority of dragons were red, which is a typical color of celebration in China. Then on the one side, there was a blue dragon, which I guess is associated with the spring, and also green can be it sometimes too. The Garuda one, Patrick had to say, the creature looks like it's from Big Trouble in Little China, which is hilarious. While the one in the front float seems to be a more Mongolian design, the head in the back seems to be more Southeastern Asian. This is one that actually has religious importance. The firebird, the phoenix, he says firebird instead of phoenix, since the dancers accompanying the float referred to it that way. He says maybe to separate it from the Harry Potter lore, or maybe there was detail aspects on the float that referenced the Russian myth instead of the Phoenix mythology. And he just keeps going on talking about the Pegasus and the Gorgon and how that goes in with Clash of the Titans or a lot.
Just, he got a lot out of this parade. Yeah. Whereas I was like, oh, these are cool.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. I especially did enjoy those, like there was the Chinese float. I don't remember what the mythical creature was that was from that though, but everybody had like the it was like every float had a very distinct personality this year. Yeah. And I really enjoyed that. A lot of beads.
Bees. Yeah, no, there was there were definitely I don't know. I'm kind of,
that float was from China. Now I'm second guessing myself. I'm like 90% sure it is.
I know. The power of movie making right now, we see things that you don't get to see. Yeah. For me, while the mythical creatures theme, I felt like it actually it made the parade do why can't I speak right now? It makes the parade feel really unified in a way. I do agree with that. It felt like it flowed really well. For me, something about these floats, though, maybe they seemed a little bit too grand, a little bit too big in nature, in scale. Yeah, because some of the ones that I've loved in the past, like I like when they did all the different the different modes of transportation.
I was gonna say, I remember a truck.
And, a truck?
A truck. Like, wasn't there like a...
Well, the trucks pull the floats.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of then.
I think you're thinking
it's
of
just a regular truck, right? Like a 4x4.
Is
that a thing, or is that a
Ford 150 white pickup trucks pull the
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'm remembering correctly. There are trucks in the parade.
Yes, there are. My favorite floats in years past were the transportation ones that they did, where they did kind of like steampunk style, like a Wright Brothers plane and with hot air balloon and a train. I got to be on the train one. And
is that the first year I was here? Was I here for that one? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Yeah. You may have been. They used those floats for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you did get to see them at some point in time. Like those were my favorite. And they weren't too big, grand, or epic. These ones I feel like they are, which is beautiful for the parade and very, you know, it catches your eye. It looks so impressive. But it's not my favorite this year, but still it all feels like it comes together as a whole on a good way.
Very high energy. Oh. They're always, regardless of like whether they're the whatever, it still has that electric like feel to it, you know.
Yeah, and from I believe I've only been able to see the parade so far on one weeknight when it wasn't like the main event, and the energy is still flowing.
Yeah, because everything. So the parade still goes. The food's still there. All the events are there except for the concert.
Yes, except for the.
So it's the good. Concert. I would even venture, if there's nobody that you really are that into seeing, then go during the weeknight, because I didn't stay for the parade, but I was there on a weeknight, and it was like, okay, this is very relaxed, but it's still, you know. It was, the weather's great and it wasn't crowded, and you're going to probably leave with like 30 pounds of beets when you're done.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And so parade times for the rest of the event now are either at 7:15 p.m. or 7:45 p.m. So those are your two times that it will see. So make sure you check your times guide if you are going before you go. In terms of where we watched the parade from, if you couldn't tell from the video, I guess you couldn't if you're listening to this. We watched it in the Hollywood section of the park right outside of Terminator 2 3D. I feel like that's, if you're going to take photos and mm-hmm. video of the parade, I feel like that's one of the most perfect spots you can. But in terms of our recommendation on watching the parade, I think we'd actually have to say standing a little bit closer, maybe towards, you know, right very soon after the parade starts, kind of around the area where the Terminator 2 gift shop is, that also shares that with the horror makeup show, because there is a very special tip if you want to maximize your bead catching abilities. And what is that, Rhino?
It's that the parade goes back in over there. So if you're over where we were, you get the parade coming out, grab all your beads, and then you, as soon as the last float goes, you go right on over and the parade is going right through there.
Yeah,
and so it's like a double view.
Yeah, and the catch on that is, if you are you know, if you're there on a busy night, I won't try to chalk it up and say like, oh, you're going to get right back up against the street and you're going to catch a ton of beads. That's just not the case. Like the night that we did this technique, it was the Saturday night, the very first night. And when we kind of moved over to the end of the parade route, we were about four people deep. And I think we each caught one or two beads extra.
Yeah.
But
well, that one that you ducked and it hit me right in the face. The guy was like hucking them though off the thing. He was throwing them really hard. Like that was like, that's not cool, man.
Listen, it's not my fault that you do not have a good strategy when it comes to performing at Universal Mardi Gras. So you got to be ready for everything. You know, the same way we have to be ready when we go for people to just chuck beads at our cameras like they're not $3,000 pieces of equipment.
Cool. Just go right ahead, at the lens. It's fine.
It's all good. You know,
if you're trying to like catch it like ring toss, that's cool too. I don't care about that. You underhand it over it, that's fun. I'll do that. But don't chuck your beads at things that are important to people. I don't know. I don't know. Just don't be mean.
Yes. We gain nothing from meanness. I will say that much. So that is the parade. Highly recommend it. Really, there's no bad place to watch the parade from. You know, New York is also a really good time because that's where a lot of the energy is happening. But I, as always, I recommend Hollywood. Let's talk about the concerts this year.
I forgot Fifth Harmony was going too. I guess they're technically also really popular right now.
They are. So, unfortunately, as we said, we had to listen to Trace Adkins in the background when we were walking around for a little bit as we went on the first day. Other artists.
And I'd like to point out, he sang about a pickup truck and some other stuff. And I understand that when I sang my song, people were upset. But that man sang about almost all the things I said in my song. So, whatever.
No comment from me. In the past couple of weeks, you've had the chance to see Neo, Collective Soul, X-Ambassadors. And then picking back up with this week, it will be Fifth Harmony. On March 4th, it will be Yandel. He replaced, I can't remember who it was, Kool & the Gang, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
March 5th, Olivia Newton-John. March 11th, UB40, my most excited one to see. March 12th, Toby Keith. March 18th, Jason Derulo. March 19th, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And then closing out the event on March 25th is the All-American Rejects. So the one thing I will say in terms of the concerts is I feel like Universal is starting to perfect their sound more and more with every concert they put on, that you don't have to be right in the Universal Music Studio, Universal Music Plaza stage to get good sound and have a great view of the concert. They do a good job of making sure the sound is good, even if you're all the way in the back and you still have a decent view of the stage, especially if you can see one of the screens that's hanging up in the nearby area. So a lot of times people will ask me, what's more important, the parade or a concert on one of those nights? This was more important, obviously, way back in the day when they happened only on the same exact night. An option still is to try to get a spot all the way at the end of the Music Plaza stage to watch the parade at, so that way you can kind of turn parade and then run and rush to the stage as fast as possible. But with the concert, if you're not dedicated on going and staking out a good spot for it, getting there very early, you're going to be pretty far back in the crowd until everyone starts to leave, because a lot of these bands only have a couple hits and they know they're going to wait to play them until the very end.
Oh yeah, they keep you hooked in the whatever the most known thing is. They're not playing that until their last song. It's a Lifehouse didn't play Hanging by a Moment till the very end. You know, Kelly Clarkson doesn't play Since You've Been Gone till the end.
But someone like Kelly Clarkson, at least, you know, she
every
might
song's
have like,
a hit.
Yeah,
every song.
And that's how I felt when I saw Bare Naked Ladies last year. It was like there was a couple from their last album they put out that I had no idea what they were, but basically every other song was played on the radio at one point in time. But it all just depends on which night you go in terms of doing that. So the next thing I want to talk about a little bit here is the New Orleans, the French Quarter Courtyard, where we spent quite a good amount of time in the area. This is where you're going to find some of the authentic New Orleans bands that are actually straight from the Big Easy, as they say.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I thought they were just hired bands. That's cool.
No. They're not necessarily from New Orleans. They might be from somewhere in Louisiana, but they do actually come from there. Before, though, in years past, they would always put the performers up on a stage and they'd play like little mini concerts to get you excited in the Mardi Gras spirit. Different this year, and you saw it in the video, is that they actually are roaming around. And they're not up on that stage. They're constantly moving around that entire area playing. Yeah. And what it's doing is then they pull in performers and stilt walkers, because up until the parade time, you're going to see stilt walkers and other parade performers all bouncing around and having fun
Lots
throughout the
of
park.
Stilt walkers, like the budget for stilts at Universal is off the chain.
Oh yeah, no. It's if you know how to stilt walk in Orlando, chances are this is where you are aiming on ending up for your stilt walking abilities. But yeah, so they'll grab all they'll grab all of the people together, and they'll kind of get a little circle moving, and everyone will just stand around and watch them. I really like that they're doing it this way. It just feels more more intimate. It really engages you in the whole experience a little bit more.
The like trumpet player, he like kind of walked out into the crowd. He was moving around in the crowd. It felt more like it felt more like a pop-up street band.
Yeah.
And that's the idea, you know. And so I really felt like people kind of got a little more into it. And it felt a little more... I mean, I've never been to Mardi Gras, but, you know, it gives me the feeling that you kind of wander there and you never know what you're going to come upon. And it gave me that feeling. Like, I was just wandering about,
yeah.
And I found this band, you know? And yeah. I thought that was cool.
Well, another thing we found a lot of this year, something that I haven't done really in past years. I've tried a lot of the food and drinks before during media events, stuff like that. But usually when we have them at our media events, they're served buffet style, not really like you would
not
get
the
it.
The presentation you get when you get the plate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not in that way. So this year we actually decided, well, if we're going to talk about it and we're going to pretend we're experts on it, then we might as well actually be experts on it and really start trying this stuff. So we definitely partook in the food and the drinks. And I'll start with the big drink this year, the ones that they have. And forgive me, I will butcher the names on these. They have the Ragin' Rutabalaya, something along the lines of that. It is a green drink. And then they also have the Carnival Cocktail. That's another one of their signature drinks. And then there's also a combination one where you combine both of those drinks along with a splash of Van Gogh Acai Blueberry Vodka. And you get a Masquerade Madness. And so for the first two I mentioned, served in a souvenir cup, they're $11.99, with refills being $7.99. And for the last one I mentioned, the Masquerade Madness, that is $14.99 in a souvenir cup with refills after that at $10.99. Rhino, you had some of these ones. Why don't you tell me about them?
I actually had all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
The green one, the Ragin'
Rutabalaya.
That one was my favorite because it's
Rumbalaya.
Rumbalaya. Okay, I think it was something easy to say.
I get that now.
Okay. But it had Midori in it, right? It was one of the things. It was I love Midori. It's the first alcohol I ever really ordered when I was 21 was Midori Sours, like the classy person I am. And no, it was good. Eli likes he likes sweet drinks. He doesn't like heavy alcohol tasting drinks, and so these are kind of that middle of the line.
Yeah.
Like especially the one that where they're mixed together, the Carnival one.
Masquerade Madness.
Masquerade Madness. I'm sorry. The other one was the.
It's like a Monster Mash style drink.
Yeah, especially when you say it like that. I think the green one was the best. I think that the mixed together one, you definitely taste the alcohol in that one.
Yeah.
I think the cup is the way to go, though, because they're sweet and they're sugary. Like you're gonna down it before you know it, and you'll probably want another one, but you're not gonna want to pay $12 again for another one. So I'm sorry, $8 for that drink was really worth it, actually, to be honest. So, you know, and then you got yourself a little souvenir. But Eli and I got a cup, and then we split them, and so it was, you know. It's not like I was downing these repeatedly. It was Eli, who doesn't even drink that much, so he really enjoyed them.
Yeah, well, see, you don't do my method where I go in, I buy the cup at the cheapest price you can get it, like getting a Bud Light in it, and then after that, I stick away from all those the sugary drinks, and I just go with a double shot of vodka with a little bit of soda water, and you know, I raise my pinky up, and I just walk around being all classy like that.
Well, the calories, you know.
Oh, exactly. The calories. It's the easiest way to not gain too many calories fast. A good way to gain calories fast, though, is eating a lot of the food that is there. I was lucky enough to try the andouille sausage with red beans and rice as the accoutrement on it. I don't even think that works in that context. It was a side dish.
I had to gather all the accoutrements.
Yeah, so, you've seen, you saw all the food that they had in there. This is not completely authentic Cajun food.
This is like very clean, very... I don't know. You know, I don't mean to say Cajun food's not clean, but you know what I mean? It's like kind of it's like how like I describe like Eli cooks a lot and Eli's Puerto Rican and it's all like it's very liquidy. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it.
This is like if you've been interested in trying this style of food, this is your beginner's guide to it. This is your way of having it to see if you're even okay with the flavors. You like the
you're dipping your toe in the pool, but you're not going
exactly.
In, you know?
And then the next time you go in, maybe then you try someplace like Pat O'Brien's, and then the next thing after that, you actually go to New Orleans and you go see
Corey Martin real stuff. There, yeah.
Yeah, you find him eating 300,000 crawfish in one seating doing that. But like I said, I got the andouille sausage, which was an andouille sausage topped with some peppers and onions, served with the red beans and rice. The dish was one of the great things. They are doing a happy hour for Universal annual pass holders, where you get 10% off from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, with this, when I got this dish, it was around $12 with the AP discount, and it was a hearty portion. And it's a dish that's not hard to screw up, but it was actually pretty good. I was really jealous of what you got, though. You got the Cajun sampler.
Yeah, so it had
jambalaya,
gumbo, and
more andouille
sausage. It had the sausage, too, yeah. And everything on that plate was really good. I think my favorite was actually the gumbo. It was a little bit – it had spice, but again, it's probably not fully authentically New Orleans, because it's a little I love spice. You love spice. It was like I could taste it.
Yeah.
For some people, they might be like, oh, spicy, but it's not really like – it's not intense spicy.
Exactly.
It's like gumbo light.
Exactly, yeah. And we tried many other things throughout the way. We had
it was a shrimp thing we got, too, that had a really good fried, sauce on or the basket or whatever.
Yeah, it was a fried shrimp basket that was actually – the shrimp was really good. The portion size was absolutely massive.
Oh, yeah, there was a ton of shrimp in that thing.
Yeah, it was really a lot. There was a – we got a apple crepe, I believe is what it ended up being. It was supposed to originally be a Bananas Foster's crepe, but it's made with Nutella, and we didn't want my wife dying. Yeah. So I traded in for like a fried apple crepe, around $8 for that, and it was a good dessert. talk about the beignets.
Oh, my goodness, the beignets.
Beignets.
Yeah. So you can get the beignets, or you can get the little puff, the little pastry balls, or the you know, they're like munchkins, but beignet versions of munchkins. And they make them fresh. They couldn't even make them fast enough is what was happening. And they hand it to you, and the thing's on fire when you have it. And they give you, I want to say 3 or 4 beignets in the little boat, and it's about $6.50. And then you can get a sauce on it for like 75 cents extra or something like that. But they'll put caramel, chocolate, strawberry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I opted for caramel because I was like, oh, that sounds kind of actually really good. And these are a big hit. We had to go back and get another plate of them, too.
Oh, yeah. They were amazing.
They were real good.
They were amazing. The king cake that we also had to try, the classic.
Oh, yeah. Your
classic New Orleans-style king cake. They do sell them by the piece there for $3.29. If they try to sell you a donut that they claim is a king cake for $5.99, and they'll say it's a whole king cake, do not believe them. It is a donut. It is not a king cake.
Yeah, yeah. Don't fall into the hole.
Yeah, don't fall into the hole.
The donut hole.
You do that, then the next thing you know, your debit card's missing, and you're really having a bad night. But I digress in terms of that. The king cake there is good. If you really want a good recommendation, go reach out to Orlando Tiger on Twitter. That's Corey. He will tell you the best place to get a king cake for your Mardi Gras celebrations. He for sure is the expert in terms of that. But, you know, while this is the catch part of it all, while this food is definitely theme park priced food.
Yeah.
I think it's fair for the price, because while it is on the higher side of kind of quick service prices when you compare some of the portion sizes to what you're getting, at least it's different. It's not like you're paying $14 and getting a burger and fries.
And it felt fresh.
Yeah.
Everything we had was fresh. It didn't feel like, I know some of it was fried, but even the peppers and onions on your the sausage you got looked very like they had just been cut, just fresh off the out of the produce, whatever.
Well, and that's a great part about these pop-up tents is that you actually get to watch them cooking all this stuff right there in front of you. It's not like it's they're just carting it out and putting it down. It actually is cooked there. So in my opinion, it's worth it. But
Especially with that. I think if you're like, you know, worried about it and you've got an annual pass, go when you can do the 10% off. You know, every little bit counts. But my vote would try the sampler because you get a little bit of everything, you know?
Exactly. No, I'm glad that we finally gave it a shot this year and really dug in.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yes, as was I. And the whole night like that, it's, you know, you can start off, you know, you're good around 4 o'clock getting in. All the stilt walkers and performers will be out by then. And then the parade happens around the 7 o'clock period. And then if it's a concert night, hang out a little bit during the concert, still be able to get some food and drinks. But if you really want the party to keep going after, Universal always recommends to head to City Walk for the celebrations that can happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. Of course, they recommend Pat O'Brien's. That is a New Orleans establishment that they have a location here in at Universal City Walk. And this is the interesting part because our experience was a little bit different. We just weren't ready for the night to end when we went and did it. We wanted to go to Pato's for a drink anyways. But there was the question about, well, in years past with your park ticket to Universal Studios Florida on that day, if you were there on a Mardi Gras day, you would also get free access into all the clubs at Universal City Walk afterwards. You know, so this is a little bit different for us. I'd love to know the true answer on it. But with our annual passes, we get one person, we get ourselves in plus one extra guest.
That's the higher tier one.
Into any of them. Yes, in the premiere. But according to Universal's website, they're saying that on Mardi Gras event nights, your annual pass or Universal Studios theme park ticket allows you to skip the cover at Pat O'Brien's and all other City Walk nightclubs. But they were not really acting like that when
they said that on the website?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's not what they said to me when I asked. So, I said, well, how much is the cover? And they, not knowing that I had an annual pass yet. And they were like, well, it's $7 per person or $12 for all the clubs, blah, blah, blah. So, at least on night one, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, so I genuinely don't know.
So, maybe just if you're going to go, just bring up that you saw it on the website or whatever. And
exactly.
I'm sure they'll honor it. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, if you pull up the website and say, it's right here, they're going to honor it, even if they're not going to before. So yeah, that is Mardi Gras in a shell. Rhino, do you recommend going to Universal Mardi Gras this year? Do you like the way they changed it up? What are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'd say if you're an annual pass holder, I think they might have still a couple days open. You can sign up on the website and get on the float to throw the beads.
Yeah.
I'd say do this if you've never seen the parade before. I mean, don't do it if you've never seen the parade before. Yeah. I'm sorry. Make sure you've seen the parade because, I mean, it'll elevate the experience to a whole new thing. So I think there's lots to do for this party or for this event that is a free event for people that just are here on vacation as it is. So I would say, like, if you happen to be coming during that day, for sure, check it out. If you're local and you've never been, I think you should go and check it out. I think this is a good year to check it out.
Yeah. And
I said check it out like 15 times.
Yeah.
Check it out.
We have two different drinking games this episode. It is Tapu Wearable and Check It Out.
Yeah, so, check it out. So when you hear the shh at the beginning of the episode, get your drink ready.
Yeah, actually, go back, start it over now, watch this again, and start playing from that end. I always forget to even bring up that Mardi Gras is a free event with your park admission or your that is such an amazing, awesome thing that this event is included in it. And I'm not like trying to sound like a cheesy TV pitch salesman on it. It's incredible that they give you this much.
There's no free event like this at Disney World.
Exactly.
And I'm not knocking Disney World. I'm not saying whatever. And you could say, well, food and wine, but you have to pay for all the food and wine that you get there. This is an event like you get your own little special parade. There's a free concert with performers that are usually more relevant than the ones that are at Food and Wine, and you know, and so that's the thing. I think this is a very undervalued event or underappreciated.
I completely agree, and I think this year, you know, they have made it way more accessible with those 50 consecutive nights. This is the year to get out and see it if you haven't done it yet. Not that next year is not going to be as good. I think they're going to do it the same exact way. But seriously, get out while you still can. If you can make it on a weeknight where you might not have the concert, but you can see it all and do it all with less crowds. even better. So I had a great time this year going. I cannot wait. I will probably, I don't know the Fifth Harmony people. I still don't know them, but maybe I'll go see them.
That's my girl. So.
Actually, I know I'm going to see them because there is an event that I have on Saturday night.
Oh.
You can go if you want.
I don't know what it would be for.
It's Mardi Gras. It's our actual event.
They just
where
put
they
it
invite
in the middle
us.
Of the in the middle of the event to promote it, huh?
They usually like putting it on a night where there's a big act.
Oh, so Fifth Harmony is the act.
Yeah, like when there's something big. So that is watch out on social media. We'll probably be back there. At least I will. I'll be back there on Saturday night. We'll see about if Rhino is there as well too. But yes, we will see. Highly recommend Universal Mardi Gras this year. It's a really, really killer time. And that's not me that's just saying that.
If you're going to go and celebrate Mardi Gras and you go on Tuesday to Fat, and you're going to continue the celebration with Fat Tuesday, it's just a little asterisk about that too. They have also a mug that you can buy, and I would recommend buying it. We have two in the house because Eli keeps buying them and never brings them because I tell him to just leave them in the car. But they also do a thing where their refills are discounted, and you've got it's an actual nice mug that you can drink out of later. That's like an actual water bottle and stuff like that. So, so if you're gonna celebrate on Tuesday, that's my recommendation too.
Yeah, no, that is some classic Eli right there.
He just always whatever you need, it's not with you.
If you knew him, you'd understand. but yeah, so that is our coverage on this year's Universal Mardi Gras. So just a few more things to wrap up. Saying thank you, Rhino, for coming to experience with me and talking to me about it here. And thank you to everyone out there who watched and listened to this. Remember, if you want any more information on this episode or any episodes, head to disunplug.com. That is home to our show notes page and so much more for all of our shows, whether it's Disney World, Dispop, Disneyland, everything you do. You know enough about it now. Make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube as well as iTunes, so that way you're getting everything. And most of all, please, please, please leave us those feedbacks and comments. Hit the thumbs up if you liked it. Hit the thumbs down if you hated it. It's no skin off my back either way. I don't care. It's not going to bother me. But if you just leave those comments, we love watching and listening to them, especially now that we are doing our take on Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets with our YouTube comments.
Don't ask people to be mean to us.
Well, we can read through the meanness. We know if you're being fake or true about your meanness.
Yeah, so if you're going to be mean from your heart.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So that's going to do it for this episode. So thank you so much to everyone out there for watching and listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with you next week for another episode. Oh, resolutions. Next time. Bye, folks.